Hello, everyone. It's time again to talk Ann Arbor area prep hoops with your Coach Speak podcast crew, Derek Seidel from Napoleon, Josh Trope from Chelsea, and yours truly, Matt Seidel from Olivet, all head boys basketball coaches at their respective schools. Hello, everyone. Preview number 4 is upon us, the SEC White Boys Basketball Preview. Been looking forward to this one, not just because it includes Coach Trope's beloved Bulldogs, but the SEC is close to all of our hearts anyway. So this should be fun. There are only 6 teams that we'll be talking about today. Ypsilanti is back in the SEC White, the longtime dominant team in this division. Has taken a step back the last couple of years, but they're back in the White. Dexter is gone from the White and into the Red division, which is one of the strangest things. Dexter competing in the SEC Red just doesn't seem right, but that's where we are. Looking forward to this. You guys, SEC, any good memories, any problems with the SEC White division this year? You like the makeup? You like the mix of teams?
I mean, I've already kind of given my piece on the whole Dexter Chelsea piece. I hate that they're only playing once, and you know, I don't like that they're not in the same division. But other than that, I think it's fine. I think, you know, if you look at the makeup of the schools, I think it's a good overall. The sizing's not terrible, I don't think. I mean, I could be wrong. I'm a little bit out of touch with the sizing, but that's kind of my opinion.
Yeah, it's realigned by size, so it's. That's a good fit. I think Western and Northwest should have joined our league and we could have had a great 8-team league. But besides that, I like where we're at. It can be a lot of fun scheduling 10 non-league games, but it can be challenging scheduling 10 non-league games though.
I feel like Ann Arbor Gaver-Richard would be a nice fit into this conference too, in this division, the SEC White. Maybe that's something that we'll see in the near future. But before we get started, we always have a little bit of a pre, you know, podcast topic. The one that came up on my phone this morning and is just talking to some players, and it has to do with shoes. You know, back in the day, I remember my early coaching days, we would organize a vendor to come in and size all the kids, and we'd try to get all of them in the same shoe. Some kids would buy one pair, some kids would buy two pair. And it just was kind of a uniform thing. You see a little bit of a difference of a philosophy, especially at the college and pro levels now. Just wondering, where are you guys at Napoleon and Chelsea? And I guess it's a question for all the area coaches. Where are you guys with involvement in what the kids wear as shoes during the season?
I am to the point where I don't really have any say in it. I don't really care what they wear. I obviously want them to wear something that has traction, so they're not slipping all over the place, and something that, you know, is supportive enough without rolling their ankles all the time, which it's hard to even find a shoe these days that is even a mid top, let alone a high top. You know, I know I was buying, I've been playing some more basketball this past summer and fall, and I was looking to buy some shoes, and I could barely find any that fit like what I like, because I like a little bit of a higher top. I have bad ankles, or I used to have bad ankles, and I sure as heck don't want to be limping around nowadays during to a rolled ankle. It's actually hard to find one with that higher top. But in terms of the color and stuff, I know when I played, we all had to have the same color, or we all had to have the same shoe. Now, I mean, heck, it could be rainbow colors for all I care. I really kind of let the kids choose that. You know, I think that it's weird that changed at some point. I remember back when I was in high school, there was an article written by the paper on how, you know, Pioneer had done something really unique. I think it was Pioneer, and that they all had different color shoes. And it was like, it was worthy of writing a story about, you know, whatever that was 8 years ago. And now every team's got wacky shoes, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny you had this conversation this morning. I was actually having breakfast at the Coney in town with a friend, and we actually were talking about this as well. And we were just laughing how it really doesn't bother anybody except old guys. It bothers old guys. The kids, like, it went from a team shoe to, okay, we all just have to wear school colors on our shoe, to what Derek's now saying is, listen, just buy whatever you want. As long as you feel good in them, you think you're going to play good in them. You know, they have traction. To Derek's point about ankles, all I really care about is that they're wearing ankle braces. I could care less about their shoes, but at practice, I want them in ankle braces. And most of the guys get taped for games. That injury is what I'm more worried about than anything. I just think it's one of those battles that's not worth fighting anymore. I know at the college level, it's a little bit better because, you know, the vendors will come in and, you know, here's five different options in our multiple school colors. And you'll even see, like, you watch a Michigan game, they don't all have the same shoes on. You know what I mean? Now, I know they'll have blue, gold, or white, but they'll have something to that. But they have a lot more options being Michigan. So it's just something it's gone away. It's not coming back. But, you know, I don't think there's a problem with that.
Now, this is one old guy that doesn't care about if the shoes are all the same. Like I told our player, that's it. I actually kind of like the multiple colors. I don't even mind the neon. If you're going to wear some really bright highlighter colors, you better have some game, though. You're going to draw attention to yourself out there. You better be able to play. That's usually what I tell my guys. Of course, they all think they can play, so it never is a problem for them. You know, it's kind of interesting. I was talking to him about, like, what are the trendy shoes right now? And you had a couple guys who are talking about the Kyries or the Paul Georges. Our vendor for BSN, Eric Maughan, he said the Paul Georges are kind of like the hottest selling shoe. Those are both Nike, if I know for sure. I think there's a couple of Adidas shoes. Sounds like the Harden and Donovan Mitchell shoes. I think those are both Adidas. Those are pretty popular as well. So anything that your guys are talking about or raving about that you hear or overhear?
A lot of my guys wear the Kyries. That's what I ended up buying when I had to get some. Those are, again, in my opinion, that's the most like standard shoe, at least what was a standard shoe back when I played. It's still got kind of like a mid top to it and everything. The Paul Georges, at least the ones that from a couple of years ago were definitely low tops. Those, I definitely have guys that wear those. But yeah, I'm not totally into the shoe game, but yeah, that sounds right.
I guess the only other part of the shoe thing is coach's shoes. I mean, what do you guys wear when you coach? I know I wear tennis shoes. I can't wear anything else. I think, Derek, you're a tennis shoe kind of guy, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm pretty standard with my full outfit. It's always khakis, a polo, and tennis shoes. I know I had to break out the dress shoes once or twice when I was assisting at Chelsea. I was not a fan of that.
Oh, that's right. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I when I came back from Spring Arbor, we got dressed up every once in a while. That lasted about halfway through the year. And I was like, okay, this is not who I am, you know. And it's funny, now I go back to Spring Arbor games and coach is wearing tennis shoes and polos. I'm like, what happened there? Like, you know, we were in suits when I was there. But no, I think the trend is tennis shoes. And I was on Twitter the other day with Doug Brotherton, who's a great basketball coach. He's with the Tulsa women's staff right now and, you know, former Michigan Ties. And he's tweeting out that, you know, we need to go back to suit and ties. And I'm like, coach, I love you, but I strongly disagree. So yeah, the polo and the tennis shoe look is here to stay.
That's one good thing about the pandemic. It changed basketball coaches' attire. So that's a good thing. So, well, hey, let's get into the SEC White boys basketball preview. We've got six teams. We are going to start. We've got to start with Chelsea. Let's just get that one right out of the way. I think there's talking to people close to the league. Some are sandbaggers, some are trying to be honest. But Chelsea is at least one of the favorites, ranging from kind of in the mix as a, kind of a slight favorite to a very heavy favorite. I got seven, you know, key players back, just a ton of individual talent. Obviously, they don't want to stroke Josh too much, but they're going to be well coached. We know that. Let's just talk about them. What do you think, Derek? Let's go with you. Just some of these individual guys and this collection of young talent. Thoughts on them?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I think they're definitely the favorite. I expect them to have a pretty clean record throughout the league. I mean, they could maybe get clipped here or there, but I definitely expect them to be in the driver's seat. They do, like you said, the young talent is really impressive. I mean, you know, they bring back so many guys that are skilled players that play basketball almost year round. You know, some of them are football guys and stuff, but when, you know, a lot of guys that are basketball first, even if they do have another sport, and that's really helpful. The one thing that I do think they're lacking a little bit, if you look at them on paper, they don't have a ton of size. I think that's never been less important than it is now, you know, just with the way the game is played. I think that they'll be fine in that respect. But if you're looking at the guys in particular, I mean, having guys like seniors like Lucas Hanifan, and Ben S. and Jaden Woody. Like, those three are just, you know, really good leaders. I know Ben S. and Jaden Woody were in the program when I was there. And as freshmen, they were already, you know, around the varsity program at times. And you could see the leadership coming from those guys. And I think, although they might not be two of the more talented guys on the team, they're still really key pieces, and they kind of keep the whole thing together. And then, you know, Hanifan, obviously he transferred in that next year, and he's a stud, good enough player to play in college. And then you mix that in with the group of four young guards with, you know, the sophomores, Cabana and Stevens, who I both expect to take another big jump from their freshman year. And then Blanton and Alexander, who are the junior guards, who again are playing their second year of varsity, at least, even they both dabbled a little bit as freshmen as well before the five quarter rule was around even. And you know, just that's so much depth at the guard spot. They it fits their system. They love to get downhill. They play fast. They play to their advantages. They got guys that can knock down the three when they get in the paint. They're going to be really tough to guard. They should put up a lot of points, in my opinion. And then, you know, I think that they do have a few guys that I worry about defensively on how much they care about the defensive end. I'll be honest, Tropes. I know that you may feel that way. You may not. I'm sure you won't say either way on the pod. But I think coming back to the fact, like, having a guy like Ben S, who, like, he lives for defense, and he can guard anybody out there on the floor. I think that they'll be fine with a guy like that and a guy like Jaden Woody to set the tone there.
Hey, you know, Ben S, for all these years, I thought his last name was spelled ESS. The kid's a senior now. Can we start calling him by his real last name? Can we get a pronunciation, Josh, of Ben S's last name?
Straczynski.
Okay. Come on. The guy's a senior now. I think he deserves us to actually call him by his real name. That's a great name, by the way. But
that's what they call him in Chelsea, though. And it's Coach S, Coach S, the football coach, and Ben S, the player. Like, that's just what he goes by. At least when I was there, that's what it was.
I'm aware of that. So, and a team without a lot of size, I mean, you know, teams take on kind of the attitude and personality, and sometimes even the physical attributes of their coach. So with a 5'6" head coach, I mean, it's okay to have your biggest player 6'3", 6'4". But Josh, you have to be excited about this team. I'm kind of curious about your motto this year. I like it. All gas, no brakes. Can you give us a little history there?
Yeah, I mean, we want to be more aggressive. The thing we were really disappointed in last year was losing the districts 42-39. And we just felt like we were keeping people in front of us, but not aggressive on defense. We were looking for good shots, but, you know, always concerned about the shots we were taking. We didn't let loose. We didn't play as aggressive in an attack mode as we wanted to. To Derek's point earlier about defense, we did guard last year. We gave up 44 points a game, but we didn't score very well. We didn't create the pace we wanted. And for us, because of the lack of size and because of all the skill we have at guard and the depth, we do want to pick up the pace. We feel like if we get in a 75-70 game, that is to our advantage. And that's how we feel like we can beat teams that might be bigger or more talented than us. So we're going with the motto of all gas, no brakes. It's going to be an attitude on offense and defense. I mean, we're going to get after people in the full court and the half court, make people uncomfortable, play with reckless abandon. And offensively, that's how they want to play anyways. I mean, we could be playing with an NBA shot clock with the crew I have.
Sound, you know, I mean, I know your guys through you, and I've seen them play a little bit here and there. But if this team can just avoid the green-eyed monster and not be, you know, and not be selfish, they can play unselfishly. Seems like the sky's the limit for them. It's going to need to be the limit, because obviously, while you might be a heavy favorite in this conference, even though you're not claiming that, but I'm telling you that, and I think Derek kind of feels the same way, your district, you're going to have to be playing really well at the end of the year with, you know, with people like, well, Fowlerville's hosting the district, but with Gabriel Richard and Williamston, and we've already covered that kind of stuff. So, yeah, if they stay healthy and they play together, this could be a really fun team. On certain nights, might almost be unbeatable with, and you know, some teams on your schedule, just because if you guys get it going offensively, could be a good night for certain people. So looking at some of the other teams, is there anybody, I think you're a couple teams here that are hopeful that they can contend. Where is the competition going to come from at the top of the SEC White this year?
You know, I personally, I worry about Adrian more than anybody else. And I mean, there's a lot of good teams and there's some unknowns, which we'll cover later, but Adrian to me jumps out right away. I think one, because you could argue they might have the best player in the league in Joe Francis. They have a point guard that can guard you for 94 feet and be completely disruptive in Marvin Ficklin. And then they probably have kids that play more basketball than anybody in the league outside of my guys. And maybe they might play more. Micah Saunders and Brendan McKenzie play on travel teams. They have a freshman, Stevie Elam, who's going to get minutes on the varsity. And then, you know, Colin Hendricks is a really good seasoned senior that'll be back for them. They play a ton of basketball. They're really well coached. They certainly don't play with fear or conscience a lot of times. But you know, I mean, when you got a guy like Joe Francis that can put up 30 on any given night, I mean, it's, they're scary.
Yeah. They're an interesting team. When you watch them play, they create like a different feel to the game. And then they were playing, they had a group of their guys. I think quite a few of them actually were playing in the fall league over at Chelsea. And they're just like, they would not be fun to play against, I guess. Let's put it that way. Like they're just constantly like getting into your body. They pressure you all the time. They're pretty tough, hard-nosed kids. They're not afraid of contact. They're not afraid to talk a little bit. They make you uncomfortable, right? They're not going to let you go through the game. They might lose, but they're not going to let you do it in a comfortable fashion throughout. Because of that, I think they're very dangerous. And then you add in the fact that, like you said, with Joe Francis is what he's capable of makes them extremely dangerous. I think that they've got some depth. They do have an identity, like I said, that they're going to make it tough on the other team. And they have enough returners, I think, to be very competitive. I don't know that I would pick them to finish second though, to be honest. Like I think that they may be the most dangerous team. Like they could beat anybody. They might be the most likely team to knock off Chelsea, but I think at the end of the year in the standings, they'll be a little bit more inconsistent than a few of the other teams. A
couple of sophomores there, Sean Parker and Tristan Hayes, I think are going to figure in the rotation as well. You know, you talk about the lack of consistency maybe that Adrian's had, and that's kind of, I guess, the knock against him, if you want to call it a knock. You know, it's a microcosm of, I hate to say it, Joe Francis. And I've only talked to Joe maybe for 30 seconds in my entire life. I've watched him play live maybe once or twice. I've seen him on live stream. Obviously I've seen some videos. You know, he's a senior now. So as a senior, that should be something that kind of comes with being a senior, is consistency and leadership and playing the right way and making the guys around him better. If he commits to doing that, this really could be a dangerous team. If he doesn't, and he hasn't always done that, and I think that's some people are maybe a little concerned. He's a college basketball player. It's just a matter of where. If he doesn't do that, I think they're going to have their ups and downs like they've had in the past. But he does, when I say he, Jordan Kelly, Coach Kelly, he does have some pieces this year to work with. So you're right. Maybe they don't win it. Maybe they don't even finish second, but they're going to be a factor. They're probably going to beat some people they shouldn't. And the challenge for them is going to be not losing to some people that they should not. So when you talk about, you know, the other team, who else stands out to you as, maybe going to make a jump this year and be a factor in this race?
I think that you still got to look at Pinckney with some respect, right? Obviously they were 11-2 a year ago. They didn't get to play in the districts. We didn't get to see if they could knock off Dexter for a third time. And they do lose a lot. They do have a new head coach, but I mean, they still have some of their guys back. I mean, Charlie Lovell is back. Griffin Mays, you hear a lot about him on social media as a 6'5" kid who can play a little bit on the perimeter. I think that they still got some guys that can compete. I think that they've got a decent culture that's been established these last few years with the group that just graduated. And they've been hard-nosed and tough. So I still think they're going to be right there going forward. I don't know what you guys think about Pinckney.
Yeah, I think you hit on a lot of keys, the experience, the culture, the toughness. And Drew Stevens taking over that program actually might be a bonus. And I know that that's not a knock on Tom. Tom Reason was a great coach, but it had run its course. You know, I think everybody's known for 3 or 4 years now that he was going to leave with his son. And you know, so you wonder how hungry are they, how hungry are the young kids, things like that. Drew's ready. He's been ready. I think he's going to do a great job. I think there's going to be a ton of excitement around him being the head coach. And they're definitely going to be a team that's going to be very competitive night in and night out.
Now, Drew played for Tom Reason. I think he's a 2012 graduate, I think is what I read. Do you anticipate the system being very similar? I mean, he was a sub-varsity coach in the system.
It's funny. We talked about that as a staff last week when we were just kind of talking about our schedule and stuff. We anticipate it being identical to what it was. I don't really see any changes. That being said, I mean, by the time we play them in late January, if it is different, we'll have seen it many times on film.
He mentioned in the little write-up that we asked him to provide for us that they're a little banged up coming out of football season, which a lot of schools are. I think when they're healthy, I think he believes he has enough to at least be a factor in this race. So that will be interesting. And Pinckney and Chelsea and Dexter, of course, three half the league last year, tied for first place. And so they were one of the tri champions a year ago. So they have that going for them. They finished the year 11-2.
I forget who are their two losses to. Oh, never mind. I remember now. Go ahead.
Oh my gosh.
Oh God. we can't even go to Dexter now and talk about who's Chelsea's losses were to, but we'll leave that for later. Let's talk about, let's get to Ypsilanti. I mean, holy cow, Ypsilanti, when they were in the white division for years, they barely lost any games. They used to win it basically every year. They had a coaching change. Steve Brooks went to Wayne. Charles Ramsey, who's a legend in Ypsilanti and a former Division I college coach, took over. He has not, let's just face it, he has not had the personnel that Steve Brooks had at Ypsilanti, not even close, since he's come there. But this team, they're still Ypsilanti. And I think there's some wild cards. There's some unknown guys that we're not really sure. They have a couple of really good players for back in Derek Hatley, a 6'1" senior, and Chandler Ramsey, a 5'11" senior. Those two guys are back, but 3-8 a year ago, missed a lot of basketball because of COVID. Thoughts on the, on Ypsilanti, the Grizzlies. I almost called them the Braves, man. I just really dated myself there, but thoughts on the Grizzlies.
Yeah, that's two nicknames ago. They were the Phoenix there for a minute, too.
I don't even acknowledge the Phoenix. That was ridiculous.
Anyways, I'm with you. When I think of Ipsy in the SEC White, it's like a nightmare. But for everybody else, that is.
You had some bad experiences against them, didn't you? Yeah.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. And I get the sense that even listening to the coaches have said in the league, like everyone's kind of a little unsure of what to expect from them, obviously coming from the red to the white last year seemed to hit them as hard as anybody. Like in terms of, you said, like they should shut down for a while. A couple of the SEC red teams really did not get that many games. I mean, they only played 11 games a year ago, due to shutdowns and stuff. Knowing Ipsy and the way they normally are. I mean, if they can get back to being a pressure defense oriented team where they're going to really make things tough on you. And then use that defense to create some offense, and be able to find enough on that, in the half court on offense. I think that they still should be able to be really dangerous. There's no doubt that the SEC White, should be a little less talented than the SEC Red for them. Just based purely on school size. So I think that they could be in the mix, but they're a hard team to pin down, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm clueless to that. I don't know what to even say. I never saw them play last year. They didn't play many games, like you said, and I don't know any of these players. When they left the league, these guys weren't – none of these guys were on varsity, so I don't really know much about them. They'll be a team we're watching a lot early in the year through scouting and film and things like that. I'm sure they're going to be very well coached by Charles Ramsey. There's no question about that. And like any Ypsilanti team, they're going to play with a ton of toughness. They're tough kids. It's a proud basketball program, proud community. So, I guess the only thing I'll say is I still own my purple sweatpants that I had back in the day for the Ypsilanti Braves when Matt and I were stalking the sideline and you were playing with little matchbox cars. So
that was Tony. I was in full uniform, getting water right in the middle of the huddle. Come on, Tony was playing with the matchbox cars.
My favorite parts were when Matt would turn to one of the assistants, and our job during that timeout was to get you out of the huddle because the language he was going to use was not appropriate.
Yep.
I have no recollection of those days. Derek Hatley, a 6'1" senior, a tough kid. he's one of these old school scorers. Like, he scores from mid range and at the rim. Like, he's not really a perimeter shooter and doesn't even try to be, but still finds a way to impact the game. Real strong player. Chandler Ramsey is going to be their best perimeter player at Ypsilanti this year. Other key guys, they have a senior named Robert Dale, another strong, typical Ypsilanti kid, you know, it's going to get after you defensively. I imagine it'd be really tough on the boards. He's only 5'10", but plays bigger. Tyrese Rawls, the 6-foot freshman, freak athlete. He is going to impact this team as well, and enough that Coach mentioned him. So look out for him and possibly to have a breakout year and be somebody that we're talking about a lot in the future. Ypsilanti is in that Lincoln district, which includes Huron, Pioneer, Belleville, and Saline. So good luck with that. But we'll see what kind of progress they can make this year. About the Tecumseh Indians and Coach Jamison Webster, they were 6-10 a year ago. That good class that's been coming up, I think it's the class of 2023. You know, they're juniors now. This was the time when I think they're supposed to make that jump. They've got some players. What are your thoughts on Tecumseh? Derek, I know you've seen them play a little bit this summer and maybe even in the fall.
Yeah, the fall league team that they had over at Chelsea was only like a partial Tecumseh team. So I don't think you can take much from what you saw this fall. But this summer, you know, we played them. It was the first game of the summer. They had the majority of their group, I believe, that day, other than Ryder Zajac, who might be their best player. But I was really impressed with, you know, just the way that they played, right? They were, you know, we like to speed teams up and stuff like that and try and play fast, especially in the summer. And they were very set in playing their style of basketball. They have some good post players and they'll get the ball inside to them. They really rely on those guys, you know, Zajac, Joe Ben Scooter. They really take the time to get the ball inside and let them do their work from in there. They're really sound defensively. It's hard to fool them. At least in the summer it was, which is not common. You know, most teams in the summer are not as locked in defensively. We sure, that was probably the best defensive effort we saw from an opponent all summer. They were just locked into everything we were doing. I do think they're a little thin at the guard spot, like at the ball handler spot. You know, I don't know that they have, I think they can be pressured a little bit in that sense, but they're, like I said, they seem to cover for that weakness well by playing a conservative pace and making sure that they're adapting to that and taking their time looking for good shots. So I like the way they play. I think that they still are going to have a tough time in the league just because it's so well balanced. But I think that they should have a good year.
Yeah, I think they're going to turn the corner this year. They almost did last year. I think they will this year. Ryder Zajac is their best player. Joe Ben Scooter is an absolute beast inside, and I mean that in the best possible way. He is more than a handful. Grant Mossberg will do a really good job at the point, but there's not a lot of depth there besides him, or outside of him, I should say. So this is the year they've been waiting for. This group went undefeated as a freshman class. They had a great year as a JV. Most of these guys were on varsity, actually, as sophomores anyways. But they've been waiting for this group. This is where the 10-game non-league schedule really helps them. They got a great athletic director who gets that. So they went out and scheduled a lot of W's non-league. So they're going to build a ton of confidence going into the season. And so they're going to come into the league with a lot of confidence and rightfully so. And again, these guys have won a lot. They've won a lot of games. I'm willing to say this. If we had to play them in a half court game, they're going to beat us. To your point, Derek, about style and pace. We've played Jamison Webster coach teams 4 times here in the last 2 years. I think they played 12 different defenses. I think he's even made up a few. I mean, they've triangle and two to us. They've box and one to us. They've 2-3 to us, 3-2 to us. I mean, you name it, he's played it. They're going to junk it up, which I know you two love, and they are going to slow it down. And he runs some of the best sets of anybody in the state. So if you let them walk it up and you let them set you, I mean, you're going to lose. I mean, like, so last year we let that happen a little bit the first game, and we were in a dogfight for much of that game. In the second game, we dictated the pace at Chelsea, and that game was over by the third quarter. So it's going to be one of these things where if they control pace, they're going to beat people.
They gave up only 48 points per game last year, and maybe that's pace and just style of play, but also that's just pretty good defensive number when you're keeping teams down that far. So, yeah, this would be interesting the next couple of years. And, you know, Tecumseh just, you know, boys basketball, man, it's just – I still remember, you know, the 90s when they were just, you know, the Andy Popick era. That's how old I am. And Tecumseh was just such, so relevant in area basketball. And, you know, it fell off and they've come close to getting it back, but not quite. And maybe this is the year or two that they get over the hump, and that would be exciting for them. The other team that we haven't mentioned yet, they're the furthest from the area, I guess. Well, Tecumseh is pretty, I guess, a little distance from Ann Arbor as well. That's the Jackson Vikings, coached by Milton Barnes. The Vikings were 1-11 last year, another year that was just hampered by COVID and a lot of different issues that they experienced. This is a new year, and this is another the team that, you know, who knows? I mean, are they going to be at the bottom of the league like they were a year ago, or is this a team that could actually challenge for this conference title? They seem to have some pieces, and even though Coach Barnes is really conservative in terms of, you know, his comments, which a lot of coaches are about their own players, there are some outsiders who feel look out for Jackson this year. So anybody have any comments on Jackson? I don't know if you've seen them, if you just recognize some names that are returning from a year ago. Thoughts on Jackson?
Well, to me, you know, Derek said earlier, he talked about Adrian, you know, like they're the team that scares me the most. But when Derek was talking about, you know, they might not finish second just because of inconsistency and things like this, this is the team that I think truly has a chance, like to win a league title. I like our chances. I think Pinckney's going to be in the mix. Adrian's going to be in the mix. This is the one, though, that I could think could jump out of nowhere and win the league. They return everyone. I mean, did not have a senior that played last year that gave them anything. And they are massive. They have three guys, 6'6" or bigger. Nobody else in the league is built like that. You know, Pinckney is Griffin Mays, but he's really a guard. You know, there's no size at Adrian, no size at Chelsea. I mean, Ipsy's four top players are all 6 foot and under. I mean, there is no size in the league. Even big Joe Benscooter is only 6'3". So this team is massive, ultra athletic, incredibly well coached. They were just so young last year, and things snowballed on them, and a couple losses turned into a ton of losses, you know, and those type of things. But these guys were everywhere in the spring and summer. Every time I went to an AAU event, they had four or five of their guys playing with the MSF flight, or they even had their own Jackson. I forget what they're called. I don't know, one of you guys might know, their own Jackson Jets. That's what it was. Travel team. I mean, these guys have played a ton of basketball. This could be a really good basketball team.
Yeah, we did play them this summer at their place, and they overwhelmed us. Like they had a ton of guys. Like you're saying, the depth is there, the talent is there. I want to say they had like 12 guys that day, and I think the toughest part for Coach Barnes is almost kind of finding, at least as an outsider, it's like where is your gaps, right? Like where is your cutoff? Like who are your main guys? Like the roles, establishing all that. Might be difficult because they have a lot of talent, a lot of similar players. I was impressed, like you mentioned, with how they played. They definitely have the talent and the ability to disrupt you defensively, and they were pretty sound at that end as well. Offensively, they played a pretty slow pace this summer when we played them. And that could have just been the game. You know, they already played multiple games in a day and all that. But I definitely agree with you that there's something there. If things click, they could win the league. But it also, I mean, you never know. It could end up like it was last year, and they're down there at the bottom again. So they have a really wide variance there. So I think that they're an interesting team to watch. And, you know, if they can get some momentum going, they're definitely dangerous. I just want to point out, two of their guys are Napoleon players. Two of their Napoleon kids. Think about that, man. That was before I was around. But, like, I found that out this summer. I'm like, what?
Napoleon's got some guys that aren't Napoleon kids too. So we need to stop that. This isn't 1978 where kids stay at the school they grew up at. Come on.
Now. Oh, and Olivet, we just have Olivet kids, unlike Chelsea and Napoleon, which seem to pull kids from all over the place. But again, another podcast.
You don't even have a school. Like, there's no town of Olivet. All you got.
Yes, there is a town of Olivet. Get yourself out of Washtenaw County every once in a while, and you realize that Olivet has it. We actually have a college too, okay? Just so you know.
One stoplight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, true. Not even a stoplight. It's a four-way. So, Derek, I find it interesting that Coach Barnes, was he coaching that game when you played him this summer?
Yes.
He put it on you pretty good. My first varsity basketball, boys basketball game as a coach, 1990, December of 1990. I'm the Pinckney boys head coach. We play Albion High School. Nice scheduling by Andy Manning, who left that game for me at Pinckney. We got beat 62-29. My team scored 29 points in the first game that I ever coached, boys basketball. It made me want to stop coaching. Fortunately, things got better after that season and later. But Milton, that was the team that was undefeated and lost to Chris Weber's team in the state championship, the Country Day team. But yeah, so at Barnes put it on another cycle. That's good to know. But some players on this Jackson team that we should note: Dylan Hartzell, a 6'7" junior; Kamen Harris, 6'6" junior; and Tyler Selby, a 5'11" junior. Those are all guys that were key players a year ago, two of which are, Josh kind of noted indirectly about the length and size of their guys. They have some guys that are going to probably be part of it, newcomers this year that should be part of the mix. Savon Campbell, 6'6" junior, another long kid. Terrell White, a 6'2" junior, and Ben Malone, a 6-foot senior. So there's a ton of talent. Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking forward. Like I said, we'd like Chelsea to see some resistance. Derek nor me could just stomach Josh just cruising through this league too easily. So we need Jackson and Adrian, Tecumseh, Pinckney, Ypsilanti, all of them to rise up and have a good year, to make this an uncomfortable year for Tropes. But who knows? Chelsea definitely the heavy favorite. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
I got one for us before we go. How many, Josh can dodge the question if he wants, because he's in the league, but how many district winners do you think we have in the SEC White? So just looking at the postseason. Well, I'll let you go first, Matt, and then I'll give my number.
I am going to say zero. They're not going to have a district winner this year. Sorry, Chelsea, and sorry, Adrian and Tecumseh. I don't know. I assume Onstead's going to be pretty good. So I see Onstead maybe winning that district. I could be wrong about that one. I don't see – they're not the favorite. I'll be pulling for Chelsea to win that district, but I don't – know that they're the favorite by any means. So I see zero coming out of this.
My number was zero as well, honestly. I thought maybe I would be different from you in that, but no, I agree. I think that, you know, zero is the probably the number I'd go with too, but I also think, you know, Chelsea obviously can win theirs. I think that Adrian could definitely win their district, you know, but like you said, with Onstead and Western being in there, it's not going to be easy. I think that's interesting. And I don't feel like, oh, this is a bad league. It's just really just sort of how the districts have been shaped
out.
And
we got some Class A schools in this, you know, Division I schools in this conference too, which have to play
up against bigger schools.
I know that's what Josh wanted to hear from us. He wanted to hear zero, so there's no pressure on him, and he can play that upset upstart role for the tournament come March. So
listen, there's no question we are the underdogs in that district. We know that. But that being said, I will answer the question. There will be two district champions out of this league. And I truly believe that. I think we will win the district. Of course, I think we're going to win the district. And then I think Adrian will win the district that you just referenced with Onstead and Western.
Now, Derek, if Josh calls you later today and asks for that to be, you know, scratched from the podcast, do not allow that. He said it. It's going on there, man. And make a soundbite. Make a soundbite of that so we can use it later on. So,
but absolutely. Now,
what kind of coach would I be if I didn't believe we're going to win?
I like that you guys are embracing the pressure this year. I think that's what coaches should do, and their kids should have that confidence. I think that's a good thing. So, but anyway, that was fun. And all schools that are close to our heart, we have one more preview remaining. That will be preview number 5. And that is, of course, the 8-team SEC Red Boys Conference, which we will do soon. So, until then, folks, great seeing you two. Great talking basketball again, and we will be back before you know it.